Pakistan's new prime minister is promising to fix its economy and rebuild ties with allies. MPs elected Shahbaz Sharif after Imran Khan lost a no-confidence vote. But can he overcome bitter political divisions and address domestic and foreign policy challenges? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Fully Batibo. Shahbaz Sharif has been sworn in as Pakistan's new prime minister. The former opposition leader is succeeding Imran Khan, who was removed from office in a no-confidence vote. Sharif will now form a temporary government until a general election can be held sometime next year. While he settles into his new office, tens of thousands of Imran Khan's supporters are protesting against his removal. And more than 100 MPs from Khan's party have also resigned in protest. We'll get to our discussion in just a moment, but first, this report from Kamal Haider in Islamabad.
After several weeks of uncertainty and what was looking like a political thriller, Pakistan now has a new prime minister. The 23rd prime minister, Mr. Shahbaz Sharif, was sworn in on Monday evening. It is important to note that Pakistan's Tehreek-e-Insaf, the outgoing party, decided to resign en masse from that parliament, saying that Shahbaz Sharif had serious corruption charges against him and that this was unacceptable and that they will not continue in a parliament that they considered to be an imported government. Imran Khan had already appealed to his people to come out on Sunday night across the country. Tens of thousands of people came out and what is seen as an endorsement of Imran Khan's stance that there was a foreign conspiracy to bring down his government through a vote of no confidence. Imran would be wanting early elections, but the new party that is in power, and of course this is an assortment and an alliance of 9 political parties that have been able to unite on a single agenda to oust Imran Khan, will be wanting to hold electoral reforms, something that Imran Khan's party did not agree with. The next few weeks and months will be critical. The Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf wants an early election, but it seems that this new government in Islamabad may not be ready for that. This is Kamal Haider for Inside Story from Islamabad.
While the incoming administration will need to navigate multiple domestic and foreign challenges, inflation is more than 12% and Pakistan's foreign debt is at $130 billion. That's 43% of its GDP. Attacks by armed groups have been on the rise and talks between the government and Pakistani Taliban have failed. And it will need to improve relations with the West, which were recently damaged when Khan accused Washington of conspiring to topple him. There's also the Kashmir dispute with India, security in Afghanistan, and the government will need to oversee growing Chinese investment. Well, let's hear what some Pakistanis had to say about their new leader and the economy.
People do not care whose government it is, whether it's PTI, People's Party or Muslim League. All they want is progress in this country. The main issue is that inflation should be brought down so that the poor man can survive. The middle class is the one that suffers most. The white-collar person gets hit most by inflation because he has to manage things in such a way that he can maintain and keep up appearances. So whoever comes into power, they should be able to control prices, industry should thrive, there should be overall progress.
We have hopes from Shahbaz Sharif. He's a good leader and we hope that he'll control prices and, God willing, he'll be a good leader for the poor masses and the country will progress.
Let's now bring in our guests, all of whom are joining us from Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. Zulfikar Bukhari was a special assistant to former Prime Minister Imran Khan. Maria Iqbal Tarana is the General Secretary of the Human Rights Wing of Pakistan's People's Party, and Zubair Iqbal is a political analyst and pro-rector at the National University of Modern Languages. Thank you all for being with us on Inside Story. Maria, let me start with you. Can Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif govern Pakistan effectively when there is so much widespread support for Imran Khan from millions of Pakistani, especially young Pakistanis? There are those who say he doesn't have the mandate to govern. What do you say?
When you talk about the support, then, you know, always this thing comes into my mind. We are living in a dot-com era, and we must not forget how easy it is to manipulate the young minds, because Pakistan's total population, 66% population is of youth. And today, youth is not being engaged with you or either me or anybody else. They are being engaged with the phones. So it's very easy for anyone to manipulate or, you know, to install their own agendas through this social media. And what we believe in this time, actually, what has happened back when PTI came into the government in 2018, after that, I think it's been almost 4 years, they used all the government resources to manipulate, to hijack young prince of Pakistan, mm-hmm. to, you know, to install their own agendas. And this is what we see today, because young people are just not being ready to understand the constitution of Pakistan and what is important of Pakistan is a democracy. And whatever has happened in last few days, nothing has happened unconstitutional or undemocratic. Of course, no confidence vote or... you know, I come from a party, Pakistan People's Party, and everybody knows when Pakistan was only 20 years old, then Pakistan People's Party came into being. And right. When Pakistan was 25 years old, so 5 years old, Pakistan People's Party gave Pakistan a complete constitution,
okay.
which is our responsibility as a young people to read, to implement, and to stand by it.
Okay, let's allow Zulfikar Bukhari to respond. Zulfikar, Maria says the millions of people who've come out, the young people who've come out in support of Imran Khan, are being manipulated. What do you respond?
I think what my colleague is trying to say is that Pakistan's People's Party and PML Noon, in the government in charge at the moment, doesn't have any support from the youth or the masses. I think her entire synopsis of what she's trying to build up is basically saying that nobody has come out for them, the youth is not behind them, and the public mandate is still with ex-Prime Minister Imran Khan. She talks about Pakistan's People's Party doing so much. Their chairman, who is from Sindh, the province of Sindh, is still, and if you look at his personal constituency, it's still probably one of the most backward constituencies in the entire country. And their grandfather, father, mother, himself, have been ruling for decades and yet haven't been able to give any progress to their own personal constituency, let alone the country. I think you rightly hit the nail on the head when you started with that he may have got the no-vote confidence in the National Assembly. By making everyone against one man, Imran Khan. However, do they have the moral authority? Do they have the public's mandate? If they do, then the simple question is, why wouldn't any prime minister who has come in now, Shahbaz Sharif has been sworn in as prime minister, there's no one on the road rejoicing. Mm. There's nobody on the streets celebrating. So why wouldn't the prime minister... Which prime minister with any moral authority would not want to go to elections immediately
right.
and
but,
show
but,
the
let
world
me ask you,
and his own countrymen?
But why did the opposition walk out then? If you know, if the opposition wants to keep this government and this prime minister honest, why not participate in the political process? Why walk out of parliament?
I'll explain to you why. We believe. We are fully aware of that we have been in government. Let me put it to you like this. We've been in government for 3.5 to 4 years. When the commodity index prices, inflation was through the roof. Worldwide, it was sky high. Yet the PDM movement could not gather themselves to remove and topple our government. What has happened in the last 30 to 60 days where this, I wouldn't even call it a super glue, but this magical glue has gelled them all together to topple the government when the government's ex-government's narrative is sky high. Mm. What magic glue or what magic conspiracy came in that got them all together and topple it when they weren't even at their lowest? When our government was at its lowest, okay, in terms of opinion polls or public polls, they still couldn't manage to do it. Why we're not, why we're not participating and resigned from the assembly is simply because we feel it's an illegitimate government. And us sitting in the assemblies with what we feel a foreign intervention will legitimize illegitimate government.
You haven't proved that there was foreign intervention. You talk about this foreign intervention, accusing the US and so on, but that hasn't been proven. I'll come back to that in just a few minutes, but I do want to bring in Mr. Zubair Iqbal into the conversation. And Maria, I'll allow you to respond to what we've just heard from your colleague. Mr. Iqbal, I mean, Imran Khan, as we've seen, commands a fairly large audience, especially among young people. We've seen millions take to the streets in recent days, and even among members of the military, the young members of the military. Does it matter what he does next? If these massive protests continue, are we likely to see the military step in as it has in the past?
Well, military has its own constitutional role to play, and they have made it very loud and clear that they are not interfering into the political process. If I can correctly recall the statement given by the DGISPR a few days ago when he was asked point blank. But this is not a matter of military getting into things or getting into the fray of the thing. This is a matter of the constitutional process. Mm-hmm. There has been some allegations leveled by the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf and the new Prime Minister, Mr. Shahbaz Sharif, has just pointed out in his first speech that we are going to make a commission, Parliamentary Security Commission, and where everything will be investigated. And he was bold enough to say that even if an iota of indication is coming towards us that we have played into the foreign hands, then he said that he was ready to resign at that point in time. We must all understand that this was the democratic process. And if you count the number of votes, it was the allied parties, which was previously with the PTI, and now they have joined hands with the opposition parties, namely PMLN and Pakistan People's Party. So it is only those parties. The so-called members of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, who were not considering their policies in the correct way, they have not voted in this vote of no confidence. So it's a democratic process, and Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif has said that we are not going to go against any vendetta or going against anybody. So if Imran Khan Saab and his party considers that they should come out on the street, it is their democratic right. If it is within the right of the political domains, it is under the law of the land, they must gather, they must raise their voice. And if they are able to muster that much support and destabilize the government and then push them into the new elections, so be it. But for the moment, we must all accept the democratic process and the law of the land.
All right, so we must accept the democratic process, you say. Maria, let's talk about the first big challenge for this new prime minister and this new government, and that is the economy. The IMF program has been suspended. The country is facing enormous deficit on the fiscal side. How will he steer the country, Prime Minister Sharif? Will the economy take a different direction from under Imran Khan?
Yeah, that's where I wanted to reply, because my fellow colleague said it's a time for a celebration. So why nobody is supporting Shahbaz Sharif at the moment? Because my dear everyone, celebration time is over. Nobody is dancing on the roads anymore and anywhere. So, the charismatic, handsome prime minister and all that, this is very outdated terms which our opponents has been using, because it's about the life of 220 million people, because it's not a theater or a movie, or mm-hmm. we are not seeking for any drama in this country. We have to be very serious about, how we can move forward.
And let's try and move forward the conversation then, Maria.
Policy crisis, yeah. Yes.
Let's try and move forward the conversation now, because you will disagree with Zulfikar on this. How do we address the biggest challenge right now, which is the economy? How does he, the new prime minister, go about doing that?
Yes, of course, the new prime minister has his own policies. Of course, today, yesterday he has taken an oath. Now the parliamentary commissions will be formed for the economy, and I'm sure that will be in favor of Pakistan, because he previously was been serving as a CM of Punjab, and Punjab is where the half of the population of Pakistan is been residing in. It's the biggest province, and economically, Punjab has contributed a lot in the Pakistan's economy as well. So I'm sure they have their own policies, which we will see in the coming days. Now, at the moment, we think in not only economically, but foreign policy has also been a disaster. So whatever the disaster the previous government has left, I think it's the biggest challenge for the people who has just taken oath yesterday, and is the biggest challenge for Pakistan People's Party, PMLN, and all their allies, because it's a huge responsibility. The common person has been expecting a lot from them, because the PTI's supporter, their stomach was full, their bank accounts is full, their petrol tanks is full. So they has nothing to do with the common person. Common person's challenges in Pakistan is very different. And for that, you have to be a person, democratic person, who understands the constitution.
All right, let's allow Mr. Zulfikar Bukhari to respond, Maria. Let's allow him to respond. So we have a new prime minister now in place. The protests, I mean, I don't know what you feel they're going to achieve, but isn't it in the benefit of all Pakistanis to move forward now and address this urgent issue that is tackling and propping up the economy? What would you hope the new prime minister will prioritize?
I think the new prime minister has his hands full. A, he's come in on an international conspiracy mandate, which you said that we haven't proven. I just want to clarify that. That's completely incorrect.
Okay, tell us how this
National Security Council
was
called. The National Security Council was called. It has all three chiefs, the Navy, the Army, and the Air Force chiefs in there. The opposition leaders at the time, who are now in power, were all invited to that council, to the National Security Council. They all refused to come. All three serving armed chiefs signed off that they feel that there was a intervention, and that the words and the notes used in the meeting held in Washington were unacceptable, and hence the Foreign Office has written back the demarche back to them of talking about a regime change and not willing to work with Imran Khan. But if the government is removed, then all of Pakistan's faults would be omitted. So this is something where all three chiefs have signed off to, and has gone to the Supreme Court. It was given to the national speaker. Because it's a confidential letter, there are certain rules and requirements that need to go about, but they didn't want to see it. They wanted to make sure they avoided it. I'm glad they're in power now and that they can go through it. And if they can find a way of making it public, it should be made public. So to say that it's fault is absolutely wrong, because it's gone through the highest level of Security Council with everybody sitting there. And I repeat, the opposition who is speaking now refused to turn up for that meeting. The thousands and millions of people you see on the roads, not only in Pakistan, but in probably every single country across, including Doha, including Qatar, including UAE, are people who are not accepting them. When we talk about a democratic, this is a democratic movement. No, it's not. This is an alliance of people who are either on bail or have run away, or their brothers are run away as convicted criminals sitting in London. His brother is now the prime minister, who is on bail himself at the moment. The leader of Pakistan's People's Party, PPP, himself is internationally known as a criminal. So do understand what this alliance is. It's not democratic. It's an alliance of criminals.
Maria, let's put that to you. I mean, these alliances have been historically at loggerheads, it has to be said, with competing interests. How are they going to stay united until elections? Respond to what we've just heard from Mr. Zulfikar Bukhari.
Of course, when PDN's movement started back in September 2020, that was a signed charter which said about clearly that we will enforce and implement constitution. We will make parliament status autonomous. We believe in freedom of speech, expression, and assembly. We believe in a democratic government. We believe in the sovereignty of provisional governments. We will protect the rights of peoples of Pakistan. We will protect the foreign policy, economic policy, and we will respect our armed forces as well. Right. So in this government, we saw they made every institute so controversial that this is the biggest challenge which we see as a political worker, that in coming days, we have to start it from zero. You know, in 3.5 years of time when they were there, all they did is accusing their opposition. Now the opposition who has taken over, and of course, people are very happy. People, they can't see it, but we see whoever understands Pakistan and okay. the governments who have presented people previously, they know they believe in them. And I'm sure in coming days, after 10 days or 15 days, if you call somebody from Pakistan People's Party, PMLN, and PTI, you will see the clear picture of Pakistan, that how Pakistan is being growing. And yesterday we saw a stock index position where the value of rupees has gone up.
Okay.
And, you know, we need to respect that. In a one-day time, there's so many things has been happening. So is the baby government, is it just they have
it
taken
is early days.
Yesterday?
Okay, let me bring back Mr. Zubair Iqbal. I'm sorry, Mr. Zubair Iqbal, for keeping you away for some time now. Let me bring you back into the conversation. We've heard from Mr. Zulfikar Bukhari and Imran Khan's party in general that the U.S. was behind this effort to push him out, even if his party had good relations with Washington at some point. How much damage has that done, you think, to relations with the U.S., and how difficult will it be for the new prime minister to mend ties?
Well, if you ask me, to be fair, that some damage might have been done, because if you are getting into the domestic politics, the international players, and I must say that this is a very, very dangerous line that the PTI government has towed upon it. And it will be very difficult, not only for this government, but maybe next time in the next election, if PTI wins the election and they get back into the government in Pakistan after 2023 elections, or whenever the elections, future elections are held, it will be a very difficult situation for them to handle. As far as the allegations on the politicians are concerned, let me say that almost everybody has cases against them. Even the Prime Minister Imran Khan, ex-Prime Minister Imran Khan, had some cases against him. So is the case with the other leadership in the country. So I'm not getting into the blame game here. Mm. The point is, the Pakistani situation is a very, very precarious situation. As I've been pointed out, there are foreign exchange problem. There is an inflation problem. The common man, particularly hit by the COVID and overall the economic meltdown in Pakistan, has literally broken their back. So it's time to get together. It's time to get some sort of stability into the things. It's time to get out of these hysterical things. It's time to get together and see the things how they are for the betterment of the people. I must say that the PTI has all the right to come onto the street, and if they are peaceful and if they are saying whatever they want to say, and there's freedom of expression on them, they must have all the right to say that. But the government has come out of the opposition now, and now it is their responsibility to do what they have to do, put the economic house in the order. Some of the indications that my colleague has pointed out is just one day. I'm not too easy to jump onto those early conclusions, because it's very early days, mm-hmm. but there is a very difficult way to go ahead. The situation in Pakistani economics, if I not say that it's crisis-like, but it is pretty precarious at the moment. The foreign exchange rate is very, very alarming. Let me say that some of the policies adopted by the previous government, they were literally not advisable. Hence, they changed their three finance minister within a frame of not more than 4 years. So something has been done which was not advisable at that point in time. Hence, these economic conditions got out of the hand, and everybody accepted the leadership in Punjab. Even now, they are accepting when they nominated Chaudhry Parvez Elahi for the premiership of Punjab. So everybody knew that the leadership in Punjab was not delivering. And I agree with this, that Punjab is more than 60% of Pakistan in terms of population. So if you are not delivering in Punjab, you are not delivering in Pakistan. Some soul searching should also go into the previous government. They may claim that they have been not dealt with an even hand, But they must look into the thing that they come back into power. They should not repeat those mistakes which they have been doing for the last 4 years or so.
All right, we'll leave it there. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I wish we had more time because there's quite a lot to discuss still. Thank you so much for joining us, Zulfikar Bukhari, Maria Iqbal Tavana and Zubair Iqbal. Thank you. And thank you for watching. You can watch this program again anytime by visiting our website at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. From me, Fuliba Thibaut, and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye for now.